This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Who doesn't know or want to know more about T-Rex? And that's good, because there's still a lot we don't know about the charismatic carnivore. One of the questions a team of researchers had was how many total T-Rexes, how many individual dinos actually existed? And how would you calculate that? That group of scientists did some back-of-the-envelope calculations and came up with a rough estimate, get this, of 2.5 billion T-Rexes over 2.5 million years. That's plus or minus a factor of 10. The results were published in the journal Science. My next guest is one of the authors on that study, here to crunch those Cretaceous stats with us. Charles Marshall, director of the University of California Museum of Paleontology in Berkeley, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good morning. Thank you.
This sounds like a crazy idea. I mean, not really, but what made you come up with this?
Ever since I was a kid, I was struck by how rare fossils were. If I have a fossil in my hand or I see a T-Rex skeleton, I know that it's rare, but I've always asked myself, how rare? One in a million, one in a billion, one in a trillion? And then I realized, I think I know how to calculate that number.
Fill us in on how you did that.
With the fossil record alone, it's simply not possible. However, on the landscape today, the bigger the animal, the rarer it is. There are fewer elephants than there are zebras compared to rabbits or mice. So it turns out there's a very strong relationship between body mass and population density. And I realized that relationship is strong enough that if we had an estimate of T-Rex body mass, which we do, we could estimate its density. All we need to do is multiply that density by the geographic area over which T-Rex lived, and that would give us the total number of T-Rex that lived at any one time. And then all I need to know is the geologic longevity and the number of generations that represents. Multiply that, and I get the total number of T-Rex that ever lived.
But, you know, 2.5 billion sounds like a lot of T-Rex.
It's a lot of T-Rex. We were surprised by the size of that number. At any one time, it's pretty small, 20,000, a few tens of thousands. I remind you that our human population now, we have about 5 billion adults alive right now. So it's tiny compared to the human population sizes.
So can you give us an idea of how many lived per square mile, for example?
So it looks like the density is about one T-Rex per 40 square miles. I believe that Manhattan is about 23 square miles. So there'd be about one T-Rex in the area of Manhattan, except I think they were probably clumpy. They were probably following prey. So over time, the average would be about one per Manhattan.
Sounds like a lot of number crunching. How did you get all of this data?
So it turns out, particularly in the last 10 or 15 years, our knowledge of T-Rex has increased enormously. Not only is it the iconic dinosaur, it's probably one of the best known dinosaurs, period. And so what we needed for that, we needed to know roughly its maximum age, about 28 years. We needed to know how it grew. We have growth curves. You can cut a bone, you can look at the growth rings, and you can estimate its age. You can estimate its body mass, therefore estimate a growth curve. That enabled us to calculate the generation time. There are enough fossils that you can plot out the geographic area. That's a minimum estimate because the fossil record is incomplete. Someone had done some climate modeling, taken it back to the Cretaceous, and using the known distribution of fossils, you can estimate what the climate was that it preferred and then map that out to the rest of North America. It looks like T-Rex may have lived as far north as southern Alaska, Mexico, and perhaps all the way across the southern eastern United States. And that gave us a maximum estimate of geographic range, for example.
And one of the variables you had to figure out, I imagine, was how warm-blooded was T-Rex?
Yes, very good. The density of animals on the ground is proportional to how warm-blooded they are. Warm-bloodedness takes a lot of energy, so there are less animals. So I think there are about 35 times more lizards, for example, than small mammals of the same size that have the same diet. Everybody agrees that T-Rex was warm-blooded. Most people agree that it was probably a little less warm-blooded than, say, a lion or a tiger. Some people think the only way they could get so large so fast was if they had a metabolism similar to that of a Komodo dragon. Komodo dragons turn out to be a lot more energetic than the average lizard. Other paleontologists feel a Komodo dragon is just too cool-blooded to be a T-Rex. And so what we did is we split the difference and said it's somewhere between a Komodo dragon and a lion. I would add that ecological differences for a given body mass are so large that actually it swamps out that uncertainty. For example, spotted hyenas are 50 times denser than jaguars, even though they both have about the same body mass. The difference between our estimate of T-Rex and a Komodo dragon and our estimate of T-Rex and a mammal is just a factor of two.
Hmm. I understand that you've ignored juvenile T-Rexes. Why is that?
So we ignored juvenile T-Rexes for two reasons. We hoped we could ignore them. If I start off with 100 eggs and they hatch, it's very hard to get any evidence in the fossil record of there and to account for them. The main reason we ignored them is it looks like as they cross into sexual maturity, that they increase in bite force, they're changing their ecological role. Moreover, when we go to places like Hell Creek, where T-Rex are most common, even though you'd expect more than half of those fossils to be juveniles, it turns out that only 15% are. That suggests they're living somewhere else where they're not being fossilized and ecologically playing a different role. And therefore, in effect, they're almost like a different species. So we just considered the adult T-Rex.
Now, why is figuring out the population density of T-Rex so important to you? And did you learn stuff that you thought you knew but turned out to be wrong, or some new things you never heard of before?
The fossil record is the only way we know about things like T-Rex and Triceratops, mass extinctions, the history of our own species. But it's incomplete and it's past, it's gone. So one of my major interests is how much can we know and how do we go about knowing it? So this was partly an exercise in just seeing how much we can know. I had no idea how much we knew about T-Rex when I began this study. There's a lot of creative work, a lot of fossils discovered, a lot of clever ways of analyzing those fossils. I was very surprised at the ecological shift. I didn't know about that. I was surprised that we could get a very tight number for the generation time, 19 years plus or minus one. I was surprised at how many T-Rex ever lived. That really surprises me a lot, the size of that number. We also did the calculation of the preservation rate where T-Rex are most common. Across the whole geologic and geographic range, it looks like we have about one in every 80 million individuals that ever walked the earth. In Hell Creek, it looks like we have about one in 16,000. And that strikes me as being an incredible fossil recovery rate.
Good, happy hunting to everybody who's looking for more T-Rex because they're still out there.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
You are most welcome.
We all learned a lot. Charles Marshall, director of the University of California Museum of Paleontology in Berkeley, California.